Burmese military's actions on February 1st, having deposed the duly elected head of government, constituted a military coup d'etat.
The United States acts quickly to what has happened in Myanmar. This is Thursday, February 4th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, there are protests against the coup in Myanmar, but not by the United Nations. The UN is protesting prisoner abuse in North Korea. The U.S. president takes action to reunite migrant children with their parents. TikTok sets off an alarm in the digital payment market. That and more on today's VOA Asia. Authorities in Myanmar have filed charges against detained de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi for violating import-export laws 2 days after the military seized power. A press officer for her National League for Democracy party said Wednesday on his official Facebook page that Aung San Suu Kyi was ordered held for 2 weeks. She was detained along with other leaders, including President Win Myint, on Monday as the military staged a coup. A police document alleges Aung San Suu Kyi illegally imported and used without consent 6 unregistered walkie-talkie radios that were found in a search of her home in the capital of Naypyidaw. Authorities also charged Win Myint with violating coronavirus containment measures while campaigning for last November's election, according to a separate police document. The United States is calling Myanmar's military arrest of civilian leaders a coup, which triggers a review of U.S. assistance to the country formerly known as Burma. VOA's diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain has more from Washington.
The arrest by Myanmar's military of civilian leaders and members of parliament has prompted an unusually swift reaction in the form of a weighty legal determination by the U.S. State Department. State Department spokesman Ned Price.
After a review of all the facts, we have assessed that the Burmese military's actions on February 1st, having deposed the duly elected head of government, constituted a military coup d'etat.
Price told reporters the designation triggers a review of the $135 million of U.S. aid to Myanmar, though very little of that goes to the government, and assistance to the Rohingya ethnic minority will not be affected. Myanmar's military has refused to accept the results of November elections won by the National League for Democracy, alleging massive fraud, and declared a 1-year state of emergency in the struggling democracy. On Capitol Hill, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell praised the Biden administration for consulting congressional leaders on Myanmar and said the country must choose between two paths.
It can continue to grow into a modern democratic country connected to the global economy or remain a corrupt, impoverished, authoritarian backwater in the shadow of the People's Republic of China.
Myanmar's military generals need to realize they will face consequences, the UN Special Rapporteur for Myanmar told VOA, Tom Andrews.
But what's important is that these sanctions have some bite, that they are targeted on the generals, that it will make it clear to them that there is a price to pay for their actions.
Human rights groups say the same Myanmar generals who have rounded up all of the country's civilian leaders and are cracking down on any form of dissent are also responsible for past atrocities against Rohingyas and other minorities. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
There are protests underway in Myanmar. That information in a moment. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. Indonesia launches a COVID-19 screening program at train stations. Singapore becomes the first country in Asia to approve Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine. A new survey reportedly says about 1 in 4 of India's 1.35 billion people may have been infected with coronavirus. South Korea urges U.S. flexibility on sanctions to restart North Korea talks. Nearly 11,000 Hong Kongers moved to Taiwan in 2020, almost double the number of a year earlier. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. This is VOA Asia. Staff at 70 hospitals and medical departments in 30 towns across Myanmar stopped work Wednesday to protest against the coup that ousted the elected leader Aung San Suu Kyi. More from correspondent Libby Hogan.
The sound of pots and pans rang out in protest in Myanmar's biggest city Tuesday night. Clangs and honking car horns marked the first widespread protest against the military's coup this week. Some shouted, "Evil be gone," a traditional gesture to drive out evil or bad karma. The military has refused to accept the election victory of the government of Aung San Suu Kyi and her National League for Democracy Party, which won by a landslide last November. The army has imposed a state of emergency for a year after they swiftly seized power Monday, detaining Suu Kyi and others, claiming election fraud. Late Tuesday, a senior party official said he learned that Suu Kyi was under house arrest in the capital, Naypyidaw, and was, quote, in good health, but would not be moved. An earlier post said she was at her home, but Reuters was unable to confirm. And on Wednesday, 70 hospitals and medical departments across Myanmar stopped work to protest against the coup, according to a statement posted on Facebook.
Libby Hogan reporting. The army's actions have been met with a growing chorus of international condemnation, although the options are limited for those nations hoping Myanmar's generals might reverse course. The UN Security Council held an emergency meeting Tuesday but failed to agree on a statement condemning the coup. To be adopted, it requires the support of China, which wields veto power as a permanent Security Council member and is Myanmar's main supporter at the UN. A diplomat requesting anonymity said China and Russia have asked for more time. With the UN meeting failing to issue a statement, G7 nations produced their own, calling on Myanmar's military to reverse course. China's foreign ministry Wednesday rejected the suggestion that it supported or gave tacit consent to Monday's coup in neighboring Myanmar. Happening now in Asia, a United Nations report says nearly a third of the people held by Afghan authorities for suspected security and terrorism-related offenses are subjected to torture or mistreatment in detention centers. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. A report by the UN Human Rights Office accuses North Korea of systematic, widespread human rights violations to maintain control over its population, which UN officials say may amount to crimes against humanity. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Hundreds of people who escaped from the Democratic People's Republic of Korea were interviewed for this report. UN monitors say the information gathered from their testimony provides reasonable grounds to believe crimes against humanity are being committed in the country's prison system. UN Human Rights Spokeswoman Ravina Shamdasani tells VOA, crimes against humanity continue in the ordinary prison system. She says there are credible accounts of systematic infliction of torture or other forms of severe physical and mental pain suffered by detainees.
We have found that 7 years on from a UN investigation which found that horrible crimes against humanity were being committed in the DPRK, including murder, enslavement, torture, and forced disappearances, we have found that 7 years later, not much has changed. Possible crimes against humanity are continuing and ongoing, and there has been no accountability for the past crimes that were documented.
The 15-page report documents in excruciating detail other forms of punishment meted out to prisoners, including extermination, rape and other forms of sexual violence, denial of medical care, and starvation. It says political prisoners are subjected to the worst forms of cruelty. The report is calling on the international community to prioritize the human rights of the people in North Korea and to hold the government of Kim Jong-un accountable for grave violations. Shamdasani says political negotiations with North Korea are focused on nuclear non-proliferation issues. She says human rights issues are of secondary consideration.
There's been very little discussion of the human rights situation on the ground, very little discussion of justice and accountability for crimes against humanity. And what we are arguing is that if we are looking for lasting peace on the Korean Peninsula, this can only be achieved if such violations end and if the rights of the victims to justice, truth, reparations are fulfilled.
The report calls for an end to impunity in North Korea. It says proper investigation and prosecution of the alleged international crimes committed in the DPRK must be a priority. It urges the grave situation in the country be referred to the International Criminal Court or another comparable tribunal. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland, recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. China plans to provide 10 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines to global vaccine sharing scheme COVAX. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. This is Business Scene. I'm Ira Melman. The vastly popular video sharing platform TikTok, also known as Douyin in China, has entered the race in the digital payment market. The app now allows users to pay through Douyin Wallet, apart from other major third-party payment services in China like Alipay and WeChat Pay. The service lets users link payment cards from 10 banks to tip live streaming hosts, purchase paid content, and buy merchandise from Douyin's e-commerce offers. Lei Bing, the principal of Roland Berger Strategy Consultants in Shanghai, thinks the timing is right to launch the payment service.
Internet users have relatively low loyalty to platforms, but payment is special. For users, merchants, and everyone in the supply chain, the cost of their switching between different payment systems is very large.
However, some Douyin users are not ready to make the switch from already established third-party apps.
I use WeChat and Alipay to buy stuff on Douyin. If there were discounts for Douyin Pay users, I might try it. But otherwise, it wouldn't be worth the inconvenience of linking my cards to it.
China's mobile payment market is expected to surpass 600 trillion won, that is about 93 trillion U.S. dollars in 2020, according to a report by Wachuang Securities. Vietnamese artist Le Van Nghia has a unique method to his paintings. Le uses dried lotus leaves he finds at a nearby pond to make his art. The former soldier has been mastering this technique since 2017. Each painting can take Le up to 10 days to make by hand, using thick, dark green dried lotus leaves with strong stems. However, the lotus leaves need to be dried and kept for 6 months before they're cut into pieces and ironed in order to have the right color for the painting. Le wants his paintings to represent his hometown, which is famous for lotus flowers.
When I make lotus leaf paintings, I want to honor my hometown, Dong Thap Province, in Vietnam, where lotus is considered our national flower. So when my paintings are sent abroad, people will know it is from Vietnam. Or if the paintings are used domestically, people will know they are from Dong Thap.
Most of Le's work are portraits, especially of famous political figures like Ho Chi Minh, Karl Marx, Lenin, and Donald Trump. Each of Le's pieces sells for around $130, which customers mainly purchase as gifts. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman. Happening in Asia, a Korean newspaper reports an article written by a Harvard professor has provoked fury in South Korea for its assertion that comfort women were not sex slaves, but prostitutes who chose to work in military brothels under voluntary agreements. Stay with us for the latest news from and about Asia at voanews.com and all of our digital platforms. President Joe Biden signed a series of immigration actions Tuesday to reunite migrant children with their parents, reform the asylum process for Central American migrants, and review Trump's immigration policies. Pro-immigration activists were pleased, but they say they'll press for even more dramatic steps. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Suara has this story.
At the U.S. southern border with Mexico, thousands of migrant families await their fate. Sister Norma Pimentel is from the Catholic Charities in Texas.
They have been waiting for so long, way over a year, because of the MPP policy that was in place.
President Donald Trump's migrant protection protocol sent more than 60,000 asylum seekers from Central American countries to remain in Mexico while their claims are processed in U.S. immigration courts. On Tuesday, President Joe Biden signed executive orders reviewing the program and other Trump immigration policies, including the separation of migrant children.
We're going to work to undo the moral and national shame of the previous administration that literally, not figuratively, ripped children from the arms of their families, their mothers and fathers at the border.
At least 5,500 children were separated from their parents by the Trump administration. More than 600 are still waiting to be reunited. Immigration analysts say Biden's actions are a positive first step. Sarah Pierce is an analyst at the Migration Policy Institute.
But it is important to note that it is more messaging than action. It's going to start a series of actions, which in the end, you know, could have significant changes for immigrants both within and outside of the United States, but it's going to take a significant amount of time.
In addition to his executive actions, on his first day in office, Biden sent a bill to Congress that would provide a path to citizenship for an estimated 11 million undocumented immigrants. The bill has drawn criticism from conservative groups. Noah Weinrich from the group Heritage Action.
We think this is, frankly, a step towards open borders and will increase the incentive for further illegal immigrants in the future to come to the country. And unlike past comprehensive immigration plans, there's really no component of border security.
The border wall separating the U.S. and Mexico was Trump's signature policy. Biden has stopped its construction for 2 months while reviewing what to do next.
The yeas are 56, the nays are 43. The nomination is confirmed.
Biden appointed Alejandro Mayorkas as his Secretary of Homeland Security, the department that oversees immigration and customs enforcement. Mayorkas, whose parents were Jewish refugees from Cuba, was confirmed by the Senate on Tuesday. Patsy Whitaker-Suara, VOA News.
Western Australia's premier said Wednesday his state is in the midst of an unprecedented situation as more than 70 homes were lost in a wildfire outside the city of Perth. Premier Mark McGowan told reporters the number of homes lost is expected to rise, and the fire is predicted to continue burning for days.
There is danger still ahead as we speak. An emergency warning remains in place as the bushfire continues to move rapidly. Adverse weather, including hot temperatures and gusty winds, is forecast to continue. And as we speak, more than 220 firefighters are currently attending that fire. Aerial support has also been sent to assist ground crews. I can report that 6 firefighters have incurred injuries fighting these blazes, and our gratitude, love and support and best wishes go out to them and their families. To everyone in those affected areas, we simply say, as you know, to please listen to and heed the advice of the official warnings and authorities, and of course, as always, please look out for each other. I know this has been a hugely trying few days in Western Australia, not just with these terrible fires, but of course the lockdown as well.
The fire had razed more than 9,000 hectares of farm and woodland in hills east of Perth by early Wednesday. Prime Minister Scott Morrison told Parliament 6 firefighters were injured fighting the fires and urged residents to heed warnings.
But there is danger still ahead as we speak. An emergency warning remains in place as the bushfire continues to move rapidly. Adverse weather, including hot temperatures and gusty winds, is forecast to continue. And as we speak, more than 220 firefighters are currently attending that fire. Aerial support has also been sent to assist ground crews.
This is VOA Asia. The recent pledge by General Motors to produce all electric vehicles by 2035, except for heavy-duty trucks, is expected to give a huge boost to the move away from gasoline-fueled cars. Michael Sullivan reports on what analysts say is a global trend.
It's an ambitious target. Manufacturing only electric cars, small trucks, and sports utility vehicles just 14 years from now, and becoming a carbon-neutral company 5 years later. General Motors CEO Mary Barra.
Our vision for the future is a world with zero crashes, zero emissions, and zero congestion.
Reducing reliance on fossil fuel and cutting the carbon dioxide emissions that are warming the planet. General Motors was an early entrant to the green market in December 2010 with its Chevy Volt electric gasoline hybrid. But in 2019, GM sided with the Trump administration to fight strict fuel emission standards enacted by California and followed by 12 other states. Under new GM management and a new U.S. administration, the trajectory is shifting, says a business professor who was a former chief economist and group vice president at Ford, Martin Zimmerman.
So I think what's happening here is a realignment of General Motors, and certainly it's getting its policy or its vision is aligned with where the Biden administration is going.
And where the industry has been moving, though slowly. The startup Tesla has proven that electric vehicles can appeal to consumers, but the U.S. market remains small, note analysts. Tyson Jomini is vice president for data and analytics at the market research firm J.D. Power.
Our EV market is only about 2% right now, and the rest of the world, Europe this past quarter hit 10%.
China's EV market is more than 5%. Norway, the world leader, electric vehicles have a market share of more than 50%. But Americans love big gas-guzzling SUVs and trucks, high-profit vehicles for manufacturers, says Bruce Belzowski of the Automotive Futures Group.
Last year, 70% of all sales in the U.S. were SUVs or pickup trucks. So if you're talking about selling electric vehicles, you're going to have to be in those segments.
But it's challenging. When designed as electric vehicles, trucks and SUVs will have slimmer profit margins. Still, GM will release a large Hummer EV pickup later this year and expand its offerings by the end of the decade. Also, batteries for electric vehicles are expensive, says Tyson Jomini.
But there is an expectation that the battery cost is coming down pretty rapidly. And then beyond that, as we keep seeing with Tesla announcements, range keeps getting further and further.
Now, recharging stations are limited, especially for long trips. A recent J.D. Power survey shows that worries EV owners, former Ford executive Zimmerman.
And likely you need government help to get over this chicken and egg problem. And by that I mean is consumers won't buy the vehicles unless there are fuel stations out there. But people aren't going to want to invest in fuel stations unless there are vehicles that will get charged there.
Government incentives, increased consumer demand, improved technology, expanded infrastructure, and price drops. There remain many parts to the puzzle before electric vehicles can dominate the market. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Japan's animators are losing one of the tools of their trade after Mitsubishi Pencils said this week that it would scale back a long-running line of colored pencils. Mitsubishi Pencil will reduce its 7700 line of hard-colored pencils to a single red iteration starting in June. The three colors to be cut, orange, yellow-green, and pale blue, were saved from a broader cull in 2015 after an outcry from the animation industry. The Association of Japanese Animators said in a statement, the 7700 line is an indispensable tool for animation production. You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. And find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Dow. Our VOA Asia team includes Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, Amy Heibel, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melbourne in Washington. Please stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.